Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast, an intelligent, imaginative, hospitable exploration of ideas that matter in contemporary life. And now, here's your host, Dick Staub.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another encore presentation of The Dick Staub Show, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers about their life, work, and personal journey. Today, we continue our conversation with Thomas Oden, the author of The Rebirth of Orthodoxy. Well, this is Dick Staub back with you. We're visiting with Thomas Oden. He is a theologian, professor of theology and ethics at Drew University. He is the author of The Rebirth of Orthodoxy, published by Harper San Francisco. He's also the editor of the Ancient Christian Commentary, a 28-volume commentary. We're going to talk about that in a moment. He also, in this book, does something which, according to what I read here, Tom, you have been somewhat reticent to do, namely, talk about your own journey. And there are some reasons why you recognize the limitations of biography as a source of truth. At the same time, as you reported, everybody that hears your story finds it a very useful kind of exposition of the very issues that we're discussing here. And I found it the same. Talk about your own transformation and your own journey.
I'll be glad to, Dick. And I want to preface it by saying that what is more important than my personal journey is God's journey with the people of God.
Yes.
But that affects every one of us personally in our own unique way. I believe that our vocation comes largely out of our own experience of personal suffering or social suffering.
Yeah.
Now, what happened to me is a very strange story in many ways. I come out of the left wing, in fact, the radical edge of the left wing of existentialism, of Marxism, of psychotherapeutic experimentation, all of that stuff that was going on when I was in college and seminary and early graduate school in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
That's where I was. And I did my dissertation on Bultmann, who was one of the radical biblical interpreters, etc. Now, it wasn't until I had been teaching for 10 years that some of my students and at least one of my colleagues, Will Herberg, brought to my attention how little I knew about classical Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
I knew a lot about modern Christianity.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I had focused on is contemporary theology. But what happened in the core of it is I made a 180-degree turn by simply listening to classical Christian texts.
Talk about that transformation. As a matter of fact, what's really very interesting and a reference point for many people would be the degree to which you and you describe Hillary Clinton as being on a very similar ideological path, raised in a Methodist church tradition, radicalized through that tradition, off to Yale University, further kind of radicalizing, embracing ideas and constructs that, without reference to the orthodox and rootedness of our faith, but kind of the new, the novel, and different, and the in vogue among the elite and so forth. How did you come to the place where you realized that that was not the path for you, or the right path?
I think I was disillusioned by the illusions of those hopes, those utopian hopes that Hillary Clinton has never been disillusioned by.
Yeah.
For the first 20 years of my adult life, I was really right on the same trajectory as Hillary was.
Now, you talk about Motive magazine.
Yeah. Motive was the college magazine of the United Methodist Church, and it was sort of the avant-garde point of entry for many of us into radical political thought. For example, before Betty Friedan wrote The Feminine Mystique, Motive was already talking about the suppression or the oppression of women and so forth.
Yeah.
And so that's where I came from. However, Hillary went one way, I went the 180-degree opposite way.
Yeah. It's funny when you talk about the abiding conversation, that while reading Chrysostom, you suddenly understood Peter Berger's sociological theory of knowledge elites had been long ago described. Cyril of Jerusalem, you saw Pannenberg. You go through these early church fathers. When you began to read our roots, you began to get this sense that there have been certain issues that have been settled throughout the centuries, that are these ideas that have been believed everywhere, always, and by all, that are in fact core and central to our own faith. Now, how do you make the transition once you've headed on that path intellectually? How does it affect you personally and spiritually and even professionally?
It's changed everything. It's changed every single way in which I look at every issue. I can't tell you how fundamental has been the transformation. And I think this whole point of personal transformation, which is one of the evidences that I present, six evidences. One of the evidences is personal transformation. It may be the most fundamental of all of these evidences because so many young people are discovering the very same sort of thing that I did, maybe with different, all with different personal histories. But they are now able to read their modern secularization process and all of its knowledge and theories and ideologies in the light of a history of wisdom that has been they have been deprived of it. I simply was ignorant of it until the early 70s.
Yeah. When you start talking about rediscovering the earliest interpreters, how did you go about that, and what do you recommend today to a young person or an older person listening right now who says, this is very exciting to me to get the sense that my faith not only is rooted in Scripture, but that in these early interpreters, we got the sense of the community of believers adopting these beliefs and applying them. How do you go about doing that?
Well, you go to what is called a conciliar process. You go to the consensus that was formed. You go to the ecumenical councils. But wherever there are issues that are not undertaken in the ecumenical councils, which are definitive on the whole for subsequent Christianity, including Protestantism and Revivalism. But wherever those are undefined, you go to the same leading minds to which the early tradition pointed. There are eight so-called great doctors of the Church: Basil, Chrysostom, Athanasius, Gregory of Nazianzus in the East. There are four from the East and four from the West.
Yeah.
Ambrose, Augustine, Jerome, and Gregory the Great. In other words, these are the people that have been most trusted, most widely for the longest period of time.
Yeah. Now, talk about the ancient Christian commentary that you've undertaken.
Yep.
What is it? And how many volumes are done now?
There are 14 volumes done. We have 28 altogether. This is just a verse-by-verse commentary on every text of Scripture in which the ancient Christian writers commented. Sometimes they commented extensively on a single text.
Yes.
So it is a biblical commentary, but it has not been done this way in the modern period.
No.
It's
massive.
it provides a lot of textual material that simply has been unavailable, and much of it actually has been untranslated into English.
Now, who's publishing it?
IVP.
So it's being published by InterVarsity Press.
InterVarsity Press. When we took this proposal to a number of publishers, we felt that InterVarsity Press understood our intention and our mission better than anybody else we talked to.
Wow, that's very exciting. And you say there are 14 volumes that are completed thus far.
That's correct. We actually have 12 volumes in print and two more in the pipeline.
Wow. We're going to pick up there and get some concluding comments from Thomas Oden, theologian, professor of theology and ethics at Drew University, the genitor auditor of ancient Christian commentary published by InterVarsity, and a wonderful book that I highly recommend titled The Rebirth of Orthodoxy. Join us next time for a continuation of our conversation with Thomas Oden. Thank you for listening to The Kindling's Muse. If this program sparks something in you, I invite you to participate at www.thekindlings.com. That's KINDLINGS. Share this program, tell a friend, or just leave a comment at www.thekindlings.com.